This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Guilty on all counts. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, April 21st, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The former Minneapolis cop accused of killing George Floyd has been convicted of all charges and could spend decades in prison for the most serious one.
The verdict was celebrated by most outside the Hennepin County Courthouse. We'll have reaction and analysis.
Police in Columbus, Ohio shot and killed a 16-year-old girl who was swinging a knife at two other people. Body cam footage was released immediately.
And on the coronavirus front, why Trump aides feel the former president is missing an opportunity.
Now that Trump is of course out of office, a lot of aides are looking back at the last few months of his presidency, a time where he was really fixated on changing the election results and challenging them. And he could have been out there trying to win over vaccine skeptics who now health experts say could prevent us from reaching herd immunity.
Meredith McGraw on former President Trump's chance at a better vaccine legacy. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been convicted of all three major counts against him in the murder of George Floyd. That's second and third degree murder plus manslaughter. Mr. Floyd's death last summer, in which Mr. Chauvin can be seen kneeling on his neck for more than 9 minutes while face down, sparked a summer of unrest over law enforcement's treatment of people of color. The anonymous jury reached a verdict in 10 hours over the course of 2 days. Mr. Chauvin, who's 45, was handcuffed and remanded to the Hennepin County Jail. Judge Peter Cahill read part of the decision.
We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second-degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty.
Mr. Chauvin faces up to 40 years in prison for the most serious charge. Because Mr. Chauvin has no prior felonies, state sentencing guidelines allow for a range of around 11 to 15 years. Defense lawyer Eric Nelson did not answer a question about whether he planned to appeal. Meanwhile, there was plenty of reaction outside the courthouse in Minneapolis. Cheers went up. A few people started crying. Minneapolis authorities lifted a curfew that had been in effect for the last week. State Attorney General Keith Ellison.
I would not call today's verdict justice, however, because justice implies true restoration. But it is accountability, which is the first step towards justice.
Many heralded the verdict as a victory in the effort to combat police violence against people of color, although several added that there was still more work to be done. George Floyd's brother, Philonise.
We have to march. We will have to do this for life. We have to protest because it seems like this is a never-ending cycle.
Patrick Yose, president of the Fraternal Order of Police, the nation's largest law enforcement union, said in a statement, quote, justice has worked as it should, and he urged calm in response to the conviction. Analysis now of the Chauvin verdict from Eric Cedillo, attorney and clinical law professor at SMU in the Dallas area. Eric, such a quick deliberation.
It would have probably taken a little bit longer if there was any holdouts or anybody having problems with conviction. So the shortness of time coming back certainly appeared to be that they were going to come back with a positive on that verdict.
Your reaction when you heard that he was convicted on all counts?
Well, again, based on the speed with which it came back and the fact that there were no jury questions, I kind of assumed that that they were going to at least find one or two of the accounts. The fact that they found all three was probably indicative of what we saw in terms of them probably just going back there, and as soon as they were sequestered, they probably all kind of came to the realization that that they were going to find him guilty of all three charges and then try to work their way through most likely the language of what it is they needed to show per each question. So I wasn't real surprised just based on the speed by which it came back in terms of what the ultimate verdict was.
What's it like in these cases that are so well publicized for the jury? Certainly they feel community pressure, I would think, one way or the other.
Yeah, certainly can't be easy. I think the judge has a lot to do with that in terms of sequestering the jury and disallowing them access to the information that's disseminated. It's just so difficult these days. If he doesn't take away their cell phones and put them in a hotel with no access to anything, then they're probably going to get some semblance of what's going on in the world. If they're able to speak with their families and others, it's just going to happen. So while they're in there, it's probably not as readily accessible, but certainly everyone prior to them being chosen as jurors knew about this case. That would be incredibly difficult to find. 12 jurors hadn't heard anything about the case prior to them taking their seats. So that would have been tough for these defendants. And of course, the defendant had tried to move for having this venue changed to another spot. And that didn't happen. But just with the incredible response that we had this past summer, I don't think it really would have mattered much. People would have heard of this particular set of circumstances just about anywhere in the country.
Okay, so the fairness of the trial in Hennepin County, will that be part of a potential appeal, along with perhaps the fact that this $27 million settlement was announced during jury selection? Even the judge remarking that the comments from Congresswoman Maxine Waters were abhorrent. I mean, do those things get worked into a potential appeal?
Yeah, certainly those are things. I think the judge had mentioned that he was going to allow a week for the defendants to come back with their written arguments. And included in that, I'm sure, will be requests such as that. He's got to come back with findings of fact. I think they're going to include all of those elements, all of those things that kind of popped up, so that they can create a record for the appeals court to make determinations on. So those will become part of the process, certainly in the sentencing and then the appellate process afterwards. But these things happen just about any big time trial. These situations occur. The appellate courts generally give a lot of leeway to the judge. The fact that he didn't allow for a mistrial goes a long way in what the appellate court does. But his findings of fact will be important in terms of how that all plays itself out.
We're speaking with Eric Cedillo, attorney, also clinical law professor of law at SMU. We're talking about the Derek Chauvin verdict. If there's no cell phone video, well, I think there's 166 pieces of video or something that were showed during the trial. If there's none of that, what happens in this case?
Yeah, that's probably one of the things that has changed the way in which we treat these types of cases. I think the video evidence was very evocative. Certainly, the jury had the opportunity to see it over and over again. So the situation, you just have different angles. You have the ability to see the expression on Chauvin's face and other things. So that had to have played a major role in the determination by the jury. Without these things, of course, you may remember Rodney King. These probably don't come to light if there's no video. Probably doesn't get charged if there is no video.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Cedillo, attorney and also clinical law professor at SMU. Coming up next, a knife-wielding teenager killed by police in Ohio. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Police in Columbus, Ohio have shot and killed a teenage girl who swung a knife at two other people. In a break from protocol, police showed a segment of the body cam footage last night, just hours after the shooting. While responding to a 911 call about someone being physically threatened, the 10-second clip shows an officer exiting his car and approaching a group of people in a driveway When the girl starts swinging a knife wildly at another girl or woman who falls backward, the officer yells at her several times. The girl with the knife then charges at another girl or woman who's pinned against a car. The officer fires what appears to be four shots. Columbus Deputy Safety Director Ned Pettis.
They deserve answers. Our city deserves answers. I want answers.
Protesters decried the loss of 16-year-old Makia Bryant, who was in foster care and in the custody of Children's Services. No reaction at this point from the families whose girls were saved. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
After 3 weeks of testimony, the trial of the former police officer charged with killing George Floyd ended swiftly, barely over a day of jury deliberations. Then just minutes for the guilty verdict to be read, and Derek Chauvin was handcuffed and taken away to prison. Judge Peter Cahill.
Members of the jury, I find that the verdicts as read reflect the will of the jury and will be filed accordingly. I have to thank you on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota for not only jury service, but heavy-duty jury service.
The 45-year-old Chauvin could be sent to prison for decades when he is sentenced in about 2 months in a case that triggered worldwide protests, violence, and a re-examination of racism and policing in the U.S.
Number two.
The verdict set off sentiments of relief mixed with sorrow across the city and around the nation. Hundreds of people poured into the streets of Minneapolis, some running through traffic with banners. George Floyd's younger brother, Philonis, says it's been difficult.
I could do nothing but watch, especially in that courtroom, over and over and over again as my brother was murdered.
Number three.
A man wearing all black walked into an upstairs office area of a Long Island Stop and Shop yesterday morning and shot three people, killing one of them. Nassau County Police say 31-year-old Gabriel Wilson was taken into custody after a four-hour manhunt. Wilson has employment ties to Stop and Shop, but it was not clear if he was a current or former employee at the West Hempstead location. The European Union has reached a tentative climate deal intended to make the 27-nation bloc climate neutral by 2050, with member states and parliament agreeing on new carbon emissions targets on the eve of a virtual summit hosted by President Biden. The EU will also commit itself to an intermediate target of cutting greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% by 2030. It's already over before it started. The Super League collapsed before a ball was kicked in the European breakaway competition after being abandoned by the six English clubs, leaving the Spanish and Italian participants stranded. The six all deserted the proposal to launch a largely closed midweek competition amid escalating backlash from their supporters and warnings from the British government that legislation could be introduced to stop it.
I'm glad that's over. Thanks, Jen.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Thanks for being with us. How's your sleep these days? It's the last thing we need during an already exhausting pandemic, right? A partner who's interfering with our sleep. Yet many of us are losing shut-eye because our partner snores like a bear or hogs the covers. Solutions from Elizabeth Bernstein, who writes a column called Bonds for the Wall Street Journal. Elizabeth, how widespread is this?
Well, we know that we most people sleep with a partner, and most adults. And so right there, we know we've got the potential for issues. And then there are so many issues that come up, from one person snoring to someone having insomnia, tossing and turning. There's different sleep-wake schedules. That's always a big one, big problem that needs to be solved. And, you know, some people like to stay up late, and then they're scrolling on their phone next to you. It's super annoying, keeps you awake. So there is potential for a lot of problems. And then the issue is sleep is so important to us, so important for our mental and physical health and our relationships. When we don't sleep well, we are more irritable, more frustrated, more prone to conflict. So it's a real problem. And also, when we're having problem in our relationship, we're likely to sleep less well. So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with sleeping apart?
Well, there's not. And I think many people don't realize this. They think, well, I'm married or I'm with a partner. If I want to have a good relationship, we better be sleeping together. Or many marriage therapists say, oh, well, you know, first thing you need to do is, you know, get back in bed together. And that may not be the correct answer for your actual sleep. And so sleep experts say it's not necessarily bad to sleep apart, but how you come to that decision matters, whether one person stomps off and never returns to bed, or if you've come to a decision, hey, let's sleep apart, but we'll spend awake, quality awake time together, and then some of that in bed.
Is that what you referenced in the story as to forming a sleep alliance? Is that what that was about?
Exactly. You want to really talk about it. So couples on different sleep-wake schedules, one's in, you know, night owl, one's a morning lark, they call it. Couples on different sleep-wake schedules have more problems in their relationship. They have less sex, they are more prone to conflict, they have more problems, unless they have good problem-solving skills, unless they talk to each other and communicate well. And this is the sleep alliance. You want to communicate about what is going to work best for both of you in the relationship, that the relationship itself is the most important thing. And then the experts say, look, spend quality time in bed together before the person who goes to bed early goes to bed. So get in bed, cuddle, have sex, do whatever. Spend time in bed that's quality together. And then the person that needs to go to bed early goes to sleep. The night owl gets up, goes on with their evening, goes to bed when they're ready. Or sleep in different rooms. Again, spend time together that's quality time. And then off you each go to your own rooms and you have the, you know, go to sleep or not. Do what works for you.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Partner Keeping You Awake. Here's how to fix that. I didn't realize, too, there are differences with how men and women sleep.
This is really interesting. There are differences in how men and women sleep. So women are 2 times as likely to have insomnia than men, but men are 3 times as likely to have sleep apnea. Can you imagine the sleep apnea person who's snoring away with the insomniac? It's not a good recipe for a good relationship. And this is, again, why we need that sleep alliance. We need to discuss it and have a plan. Women also have a lot of sleep disruptions around different periods in their life when their hormones are going up or down.
I believe
pregnancy. Menopause, so that's a big issue. And this surprised me. Women are more likely to be morning people. I'm not, so I was kind of surprised by that.
Elizabeth Bernstein at the Wall Street Journal, 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to remind you about paintyourlife.com. If you're looking for a truly meaningful gift, they did one for me that my wife loves. A professional hand-painted portrait of our kids, one of our favorite photos, that Paint Your Life turned into a real work of art. I chose a world-class artist and worked with them to make sure everything was just right. It takes 5 minutes to order, and in about 3 weeks, you'll have a gift she'll cherish forever. I love their stuff. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's fully refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your painting and free shipping. Just text the word deal to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text the word deal again to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text deal to 64,000.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Derek Chauvin, convicted of murdering George Floyd, could get 40 years in prison. Police in Ohio fatally shoot a 16-year-old girl who was swinging a knife at 2 others. Congressional Republicans want to discuss the border crisis with Vice President Harris, who's not held a news conference in the 4 full weeks since she was appointed as lead on the issue. Apple introduces its latest iPad Pro and subscription podcasts. Look for the Lyrid meteor shower in the pre-dawn hours tomorrow, and a hero dog in Texas. That story in 20 minutes. With more than half of adults in the country having received at least one shot of a COVID vaccine, Trump supporters remain stubbornly resistant to vaccination, and it's sparking a new round of questions over what role, if any, the former president could play to move those efforts along. Former President Trump was asked about it recently on Fox News.
They paused Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and it probably even affects the other vaccines a little bit, but they paused it. It's had a devastating impact. I said, they want me to do a commercial, some commercial, and they do this pause.
Meredith McGraw, White House reporter at Politico, says former President Trump's unwillingness to pitch his voters on getting the jab has become the source of frustration for former aides. Meredith, what are sources saying?
Now that Trump is of course, out of office, a lot of aides are looking back at the last few months of his presidency, a time where he was really fixated on changing the election results and challenging them. And he could have been out there trying to win over vaccine skeptics who now health experts say are could prevent us from reaching herd immunity. And it's a point of contention for them because, you know, there's some Trump advisors who say he did enough. He pushed through these vaccines, the development of them with Operation Warp Speed at really a spectacular scale, something we really haven't seen in modern, you know, pharmaceutical research to get all these vaccines done or made. But then there are others who say, you know, he just didn't do a good enough job of trying to win people over over those skeptics who might be wary of getting the vaccine now.
Yeah, I'm going to play junior analyst and guess that with Mr. Trump not out there publicly telling folks what to do. It's almost like maybe the principle of being a Republican, and that's that you don't want somebody telling you what's best for you. Is that part of this?
Yeah, I think Republicans traditionally, they've been skeptical of the government telling them what they should do, you know, how they should use their money, their time, or how they should live their lives. But, you know, this is an instance where Trump, he does have considerable influence still among huge swaths of Republican voters who consistently in polling have said that they might not take the vaccine if it's available to them, and where he could really use his influence to do good with public health.
Yeah. We're speaking with Meredith McGraw, White House reporter at Politico. So as you point out in the story, Mr. Trump and Melania Trump both got their shots in secret. And that struck me as odd because he's a man who, one, loves publicity and, two, is good at it. Why would he do that?
So that was a really strange moment. Of course, the former president and first lady got the coronavirus themselves. But then when they could have, you know, gotten the vaccine in public, taken photos or done a video with it, they decided to do it in secret, so secret that we talked to some of his very top advisors and aides who had no idea that he got the vaccine.
Wow.
Until it was later, it later came out in the news long after he was out of office. And they say that was a real missed opportunity. They talked about how they wanted to get Donald Trump, you know, out on a stage with, you know, other doctors and nurses, mm-hmm. to tout the efficacy and the safety of the vaccines. And one aide had joked, we've never seen Trump wear a short-sleeved shirt in public, so they doubted that he would actually be interested in doing something like that. And Vice President Pence and the Second Lady Karen Pence, and of course the Surgeon General, all did a televised vaccination event that was on all of the morning shows. But Pence's influence doesn't quite go as far as Trump.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got it in secret was really eyebrow raising and frustrating to a lot of health aides who wanted him to get it done in public, just to underscore that, you know, yes, you know, you can get this vaccine and it will help us get back to life as normal.
Yeah. So I know he's been encouraged to do some sort of a PSA, right, or a commercial promoting getting the shot, but nobody tells him what to do. But he could still do something, I guess, if he wanted to.
He could still do something, and his aides say he's going to continue bringing it up. But, you know, when he's been given the opportunity, it's been more about boasting about getting the vaccines developed and not so much about, you know, really speaking to his own base and encouraging them to get the shot themselves. One of the people that we spoke to in the story was former Congressman Peter King from New York, and he said, you know, Trump, he has a special way of appealing to his supporters, and he really should, you know, try to speak to them and try to do some sort of public service announcement, but in his own very Trumpian way to try to get the message across.
Nice, Meredith. Meredith McGraw, White House reporter at Politico. Coming up next, the mic drop. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it appears it's not only the humans that are getting more aggressive these days, but the animals also seem to be in a fighting mood. First, we take you to Corona, California, where a man there is recovering after being bitten by a rattlesnake when he tried to pick up the poisonous reptile using barbecue tongs. Authorities said the man spotted the snake over the weekend and was worried about it coming into contact with his children. When he tried to remove the rattler using the tongs, the snake struck and bit him on the hand. The man, who was not identified, was treated at a hospital and later released. An animal control officer eventually was able to remove the snake, and officials warn residents to call animal services when they spot a poisonous snake rather than try to remove it themselves.
With barbecue tongs, which
are obviously not nearly long enough to prevent the snake from then wrapping back up and biting you on the hand.
Let's presume this man is not a professional animal handler as
And again, that situation, unless you are a professional animal handler, you probably shouldn't just assume that you know how to deal with a rattlesnake.
Right. I presume also that even the professional animal handlers at the local animal control office who have training in this type of thing also don't use barbecue tongs.
Yes, most likely not.
Yeah, it's probably a bag and like one of those long poles that you see on any of these, you know, animal shows.
Yeah.
It lifts the snake by its neck with a long pair of tongs, drop it into a bag and safely remove it to a different location.
Yes, yes. Nothing you were going to use on your, you know, brisket.
Yeah.
It's probably going to work.
Like once he got it, let's say, securely in the tongs, let's say, then what?
Right. What was the plan of action then?
Yeah. Just pat it on the head, say, I'm going to put you in the back seat of the car. We're going for a ride. What, did he have like one of those burlap sacks? You know, just.
Don't know if it was thought through entirely. Geez. And now, taking you across the country to our own backyard, hungry humans in New Jersey are saying that they are under attack by an aggressive goose patrolling a diner parking lot. Witnesses said the male goose has frequently been spotted in the parking lot at the Park West Diner in Woodland Park and has been acting threatening toward customers and employees. At least one man has been knocked over by the goose and left with bruises on his face from the bird's pecking. Experts said male geese are known to be aggressive this time of year because they are protecting their eggs, so you need to make sure to stay away from their nests.
Yeah.
And
well,
you, yeah.
Do they have signs that say nests are here? Stay away? Like, it's this goose is in the middle of a parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's tough for you to know when you approach it. And of course, you know what this makes me think of. We have the aggressive geese we have here on our own campus.
You and Jennifer are going to get attacked surely one day because you sit alongside this window where there's an aggressive Canada geese banging at the window trying to get at you guys. I don't know what you've done to it, but
you're staring at
us
all day long. You're waiting for us to leave.
You're going
to
get it.
Somebody else who worked here had one jump up on their car. I mean, this is the geese in New Jersey have had it with us.
Yeah.
And they are attacking.
Yeah. Mike and Jennifer now go to their cars when the workday is done, like on their elbows and knees, trying to keep a low profile with an army crawl to get safely to their vehicles. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One has no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. A new study suggests that middle-aged adults who sleep 6 or fewer hours a night may be at higher risk of developing dementia in later life. A study published yesterday in a journal called Nature Communications found that people age 50 or 60 who regularly slept 6 hours or less each night were more likely than those who slept 7 hours to be diagnosed with dementia. Even after controlling for cardiac, metabolic, and mental health issues, the study researchers found that 50-year-olds who were sleeping 6 hours or less a night had a 22% higher risk of developing dementia later in life. 60-year-olds were 37% more likely. The comparisons were with people who slept for 7 hours each night. A group of European researchers looked at survey data for nearly 8,000 adults in the UK over a period of 25 years. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been convicted of murder and manslaughter for pinning George Floyd to the pavement with his knee on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes. The 45-year-old Chauvin was led away with his hands cuffed behind his back and could be sent to prison for decades. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison thanked the witnesses who testified.
They performed simple yet profound acts of courage. They told the truth, and they told the whole world the truth about what they saw.
The jury was comprised of 6 whites and 6 black or multiracial people.
Number two.
President Biden and Vice President Harris welcomed the verdict, saying the case exposed systemic racism and that more needs to be done.
Here's the truth about racial injustice. It is not just a Black America problem or a people of color problem. It is a problem for every American.
The jury's decision was hailed around the country as justice by other political and civic leaders and celebrities, including former President Obama.
Number three.
Columbus, Ohio police shot and killed a teenage girl who swung at 2 other people with a knife, according to body cam footage from the officer who fired the shots. The decision to swiftly release the video was a departure from protocol as the force faces immense scrutiny from the public following a series of recent high-profile police killings. Interim Police Chief Michael Wood.
This officer will be taken off the street. Decisions about policy will come with the conclusion of the criminal investigation.
Police had been dispatched after someone called 911 saying they were being physically threatened. When police arrived, the girl was swinging a knife at another person and then charged someone else who was pinned against a car. The Biden administration is working up an economic spending package that's focused on child care, paid family leave, and other domestic priorities. The Washington Post says Biden will unveil the plan ahead of his address to a joint session of Congress on April 28th. Dinosaurs may be scary, but here's the good news. You probably would have been able to outrun them. Dutch researchers have determined that Tyrannosaurus Rex would have covered just under 3 miles an hour at its preferred walking speed. They note that animals tend to prefer walking speeds because the energy exerted is minimal.
Wow. So if you had a leash, you'd technically walk them, I guess,
could,
right?
If you wanted to,
were so bold.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, an El Paso dog to the rescue.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A dog in Texas has been recognized as a hero for saving his owner's life. The El Paso Fire Department and El Paso Animal Services honored Astro, an American Pit Bull Terrier, with a medal and a dog-safe cake to celebrate the pooch's bravery. Fire department officials took to social media last week to say Astro alerted a neighbor when his owner experienced a medical emergency. The Good Samaritan saw the dog, followed him to his owner. 911 was called. The post said thanks to this, rescuers were able to assist and transport the patient, saving his life. During the recognition ceremony last Friday, the El Paso Fire spokesman, Enrique Duenas Aguilar, said Astro even tried to get into the ambulance with his owner. Astro's owner told KTSM Television she and her family were surprised by the heroism since he's not trained to alert others in emergencies. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.